Tonight on Old Time Radio Drama, the Lone Ranger rides again in one of his last adventures. It comes to us from 1955. We'll have comedy from The Jimmy Durante Show, vintage 1947. Lum and Abner from, about 1944. Boston Blackie has a case tonight. Sherlock Holmes does, too, in a broadcast from 1946. And Dragnet has more true-to-life police drama tonight from 1952. We'll start by joining a wagon train where things are not going terribly smoothly. There's an argument about which trail to take and a vote of no confidence for the wagon master, and things get worse, not just for the wagon train, but also for the Lone Ranger and Tonto, in a story called The Short Route from May 27th, 1955.
General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat, and Wheaties, breakfast of champions, presents The Lone Ranger. With a speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a haughty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early Western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hail, Silver. Away!
When boys line up to run a race, Galloping Gordon sets the pace. He comes in first because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power.
There he goes.
He's feeling his Cheerios, Cheerios, Cheerios.
Sure, Cheerios, the cereal that's fun to eat because it's shaped like little letter O's. The only ready-to-eat oat cereal with this fresh toasted oat flavor. And listen, every delicious spoonful of Cheerios and milk is real muscle-building food. Each spoonful contains vitamins, minerals, and proteins your body needs. Yes, the good things in a Cheerios breakfast do good things for your body. Help you have healthy nerves, good red blood, strong bones and muscles. Yes, Cheerios is made to give you real go power. So every morning, get going and keep going with Cheerios. Then you'll hear people say,
he's feeling his Cheerios.
For several weeks after leaving Springfield, Missouri, the journey of a big wagon train was uneventful. One night, as the pioneers gathered around a large campfire within the encircled wagons, the wagon master, Will Halden, stood up to speak.
Well, Ben, as you all know, we're not very far from our destination. But that doesn't mean we're going to relax our vigilance so far as the Indians are concerned. As a matter of fact, the territory we'll pass through during the next few days is said to be overrun by a hostile redskin.
Terry Keller says there isn't any danger. And he thinks we're foolish to follow the Butterfield Trail when there's a shorter route from Phantom Hill on.
Terry Keller is a young, headstrong fool.
Well, it's not fair to say such a thing about Terry. At least you ought to wait until he's here to defend himself.
Well, he ought to be here, instead of taking up with Carver and Beauvais and going away like he did.
Terry said they were going to do some trail scouting, Will.
What's he know about scouting? Or the other two, for that matter? They seem to think they know it all.
Well, I suppose Terry wants to be sure everything goes right because his father financed the trip.
Now, I was put in charge of this wagon train, and what I say goes. Unless you all get together and vote somebody else in my place.
No, sir.
That's all right now. Come along, Lucy.
On the trail ahead, Terry Keller, a young man about 25, was returning to the wagon camp with Beauvais, a Frenchman, and Carver, a rough-talking, heavy-set man. As they rode, Carver was saying,
Terry, if you and the others listen to Will Halden, it'll take weeks longer, maybe, to get where you're heading. You can take our word for it. That branch trail we just showed you will get the wagons there safer and quicker. Hey, Beauvais.
But of course. We have traveled these short routes, and we know it is the far better way to go.
Is there danger if we leave the well-traveled Butterfield Trail?
Ah, the Indians are well under control now.
Carver is right, Terry.
Talk to the others, Terry. Get them on your side. They'll listen to you. Convince them the short route is better all the way around.
All right. I'll see what I can do.
Come on, get up.
Get up.
Late that night, after the camp had quieted, Beauvais and Carver slipped away and rode west along the trail to meet an Indian scout and send word to Chief Lightfoot that the wagons would be certain to take the so-called short route, a route leading into wild and unpatrolled country, which was ideal for an Indian attack. As the two men rode, Beauvais was saying,
What do we get out of all this, Carver?
All the cash and valuables in the wagon train, and there's plenty. The Comanches get the guns, ammunition, and horses.
But if Will Alden is still wagon master and insists on going the regular route...
I've been putting the idea in Terry's mind to get the men to vote out Alden and elect me as wagon master.
You? Oh, that is laughable, mon ami.
Yeah? Well, I'll be able to stop the wagons for the night just where the Comanche chief wants them to stop. And you and I'll slip away just before the attack. Come on, let's hurry. Get up there.
After meeting a Comanche brave and sending the message to Chief Lightfoot, Carver and Beauvais returned to the wagon camp. All the next day, as they rolled slowly over the prairie, Terry talked to the pioneers one by one. That night, after the wagons were circled in camping formation, a man who had been chosen as spokesman called for a vote to replace Will Halden as wagon master. After the voting, he spoke to the group.
The voting shows that Carver is to replace Will Halden as wagon master. I hope there's no hard feelings.
Well, go ahead. Follow Carver from now on. As for me, I'm taking my wagon and leaving the train with any who want to go along. I'm still going to follow the Butterfield Trail.
Early the following morning, the Lone Ranger and his Indian companion Tonto rode the Butterfield Trail eastward toward Fort Phantom Hill.
It's not far to Fort now, Kemosabe. Maybe 2-3 miles.
That's right, Tonto. We'll stop and see our friend, Colonel Davis.
Look, Kemosabe, wagons coming this way.
Only 3 of them.
Then shoot. Maybe think we outlaw.
Hold. Stop and wait, Tonto. Don't draw your gun. We're not outlaws, if that's what you think.
Don't listen to him, Will. I've heard about the masked outlaws out this way.
Will, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe they aren't outlaws. Of course, he is wearing a mask.
Oh, wait a minute, Lucy. I remember hearing about a masked hombre when we lived out here before. He was said to ride a white stallion and carry silver bullets.
My gun belt is filled with silver bullets.
What's your horse's name, mister?
Silver.
Lucy. He's the one I heard about. Why, mister, you must be the Lone Ranger.
That's right. Come on, boy.
Well, mighty glad to meet you. My name is Will Halden. This is my wife, Lucy.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mrs. Halden? This is Tonto.
How do you do, sir?
I'm surprised that only 3 wagons made the trip west, Mr. Halden. You'd run into hostile Indians.
Oh, we had a big wagon train as far as Phantom Hill.
Oh, what happened to the others?
Well, it's a long story, mister. But if you have a few minutes, I'll tell you all about it.
Go right ahead.
Briefly, Will Halden told the Lone Ranger and Tonto what had taken place. When he finished, the masked man spoke.
The trail the others have taken isn't really shorter. It's far rougher. Also, there's more danger running into hostile Indians.
Heavens, that sounds terrible. I wonder why Mr. Carver and Mr. Beauvais think it's the better and shorter route.
Well, that's what I wonder, Mrs. Holden. What type of men are they, Mr. Holden?
I'll answer that, mister. I figure to be a couple of no-good polecats. They pulled the wool over young Keller's eyes and got him to side with them against Will Holden.
Now, take it easy, Jake.
Yeah.
Terry Keller has the right to his own opinion.
No, he hasn't. His father put you in charge. He should have stuck by you. No telling what those three will lead the wagon train into on that other route.
I suggest you turn back and wait at Fort Phantom Hill for another wagon train coming west.
Huh?
Otto and I'll turn south and take a shortcut to the other trail. The sooner we locate the other wagons, the better. We'll get word to you later. Adios.
Adios.
Come on, Phil.
Let's go.
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment. Now, free stamp offer from Cheerios, the ready-to-eat oat cereal.
Free for one special Cheerios box top, a 64-page guide packed with information on stamp collecting, plus 10 genuine foreign stamps to start your collection.
Begin the world's most thrilling hobby, collecting stamps from strange, exciting, faraway lands all over the globe.
You'll want this handy 1955 stamp guide for your very own. It contains many pages in full color, gives you tips on how to collect stamps, how to start your own stamp club, and even includes a whole illustrated section on U.S. stamps.
Get your 64-page guide plus 10 stamps free for only one special Cheerios box top.
And on the back of the same Cheerios package, find still another offer. 300 foreign stamps plus stamp album for only 25 cents in box top. All stamps supplied by world's largest stamp firm, H.E. Harrison Company of Boston.
Act now. Look for the Cheerios package with a free stamp offer on front. Now to continue. The route the wagon train had taken branched off the Butterfield Trail east of Phantom Hill and ran southward for several miles. Then it swung west and ran parallel to the main trail. The Lone Ranger and Tonto took a shortcut and managed to reach the lower trail in time to see the wagon train approaching.
Oh, oh, easy, steady, big fella. There come the wagons, Tonto. They're still some distance away. So far, nothing has happened to them. We ride ahead along the trail and look for possible danger.
Come on, Tonto.
Get them on scout.
The new trail ran through rolling country, and as the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode, they noticed the fresh hoof marks of one horse. A short time later, as they topped a rise, they saw a rider just disappearing over the low hill ahead. A few moments passed before they reached the top of the low hill and saw him turn from the trail into the woods.
Easy, Silver, easy, brother.
The masked man and Indian also left the trail and rode cautiously through the woods for some distance. Then they approached the edge of a low mesa. They stopped and dismounted.
Easy, steady, big fella.
Hoof marks go right to the edge of this mesa. Come on, brother.
A moment later, the two men saw that the hoof prints followed a steep, narrow path to a valley below, in which there was an Indian camp. Using field glasses, they saw a white man talking to the Indian chief in sign language. Tonto watched, then said,
Kimasabi.
Yes?
White fella tell chief about wagons. Him say there many rifle, guns, much ammunition.
And he's from the wagon train.
Ah. Now, chief make sign. Say, Indian attack from behind when wagons reach river.
Tonto, it will be a massacre. We must get help. You ride to Fort Phantom Hill. We'll take those wagons several hours to reach the river. The troopers may have time to get here.
They go now. Adios.
Adios.
After Tonto left, the Lone Ranger mounted Silver and rode out to the trail.
Come on, boy.
Then he headed eastward to meet and warn the pioneers.
Come on, Silver.
Meantime, Tonto started back along the shortcut trail. He had ridden about a mile. When rounding a bend, he saw a Comanche scouting party approaching.
Oh, scout, oh, fella. Round, scout, round, fella.
Quickly, he turned his horse around and started back.
Get him up, scout.
The Comanche saw him and urged their ponies to a gallop. Tonto glanced back. Then, feeling sure he could outrun his pursuers, gave scout his head. But at that moment, more Indians rode from the bordering woods ahead of him and barred his path. realizing he was trapped, Tonto pulled to a stop.
Hold, Scout. Hold, Tonto.
How? Me ride in peace. Not want trouble with Comanche.
You not Comanche. What you do here?
Anakoma! Soma! Soma!
Braves say, we take you, Chief Lightfoot. If you move, you die now. Take guns. Fire them.
Back on the trail and slowly moving westward, Terry Keller rode at the head of a wagon train with Beauvais.
Where did Carver go?
He has gone ahead to do some scouting, Terry.
He should be back soon.
I wish Holden had stayed with us. Even though he's no longer in charge, I still feel... Say, look. A rider coming toward us.
Eh?
Must be Carver returning.
No, it cannot be. He does not ride a white horse.
Check! That rider is masked. He must be a highwayman. I'll stop him with a bullet.
No, wait. We have 30 men to his one. He can't harm us. Better stop the wagon.
Stop the wagon!
Hold, easy, silly big fella.
You are covered, monsieur. Do not reach for your guns.
I come as a friend. Who's in charge here?
The new wagon master isn't here at the moment. What is it you want? I'm Terry Keller.
Will Holland told me about you. I came to warn you of danger. The Comanches plan to attack.
Why should we listen to you, an outlaw? This is some trick, Terry. Do not pay any attention.
I'm not an outlaw, and this isn't a trick.
Now, wait a minute. You mentioned Will Holden.
Yes, I met him on the other trail earlier today. He told me all that took place.
Terry, we get the men to tie up this masked man, and we turn him over to the first sheriff we meet.
Just a minute. If you talk to Holden, he must consider you a friend.
Yes, he does. You must heed my warning. A heavyset man went to the Comanche camp a while ago and talked to the chief.
Heavyset man? He must be Carver. And you... I heard you call out, come on, Silver.
Yes, that's right. My horse is named Silver.
My father told me of a masked man who rode a white stallion by that name. A man who carried two fancy guns and used silver bullets. Here's a silver bullet he gave Dad. I carry it now.
Here's one like it from my gun belt.
You must be the Lone Ranger.
I am. Evidently, Carver is a traitor and plans to lead you into a trap. The attack with the Indians will take place at the river.
River?
Yes, it's about 10 miles from here.
So, Carver would betray us, eh? And all the time I trusted him as a friend, almost as a partner.
And you knew nothing about all this, Beauvais?
Of course not. But what are we to do?
Turn back and head for Fort Phantom Hill. The Comanche camp is about 2 miles from here. Let's hope they don't find out the wagons have turned back.
All right, we'll do whatever you say, mister.
I agree with you, Terry. Let us start them back at once. I ride back and tell the others. Get it back. Turn back. Get around. Turn back.
Beauvais played his part so well that neither the Lone Ranger nor Terry suspected what he intended to do. The Frenchman rode toward the rear of the line of wagons and told each driver to turn back. Yeah. After all the wagons had turned, he waited until they moved past him. After the last of them had gone by, Beauvais turned hurriedly and rode into the woods.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the Comanche camp, Tonto, tied hand and foot, was a prisoner in one of the teepees. Realizing what would happen if the troopers weren't warned, he struggled for some time to loosen his hands, but without success.
No use. Ropes heap plenty tight.
Intently as the chief and the other Comanches discussed the situation. He understood their language and heard the chief say his braves would soon start in pursuit of the wagons and attack them on the open plain at dusk. Tonto looked about him frantically for some way to get loose. At first it seemed hopeless. Then his eyes rested on a double-edged tomahawk, securely wedged into the center post of the teepee. He struggled to his feet, hopped to the post, then turning his back, worked the rope on his wrists against the protruding sharp edge of the tomahawk.
I hope no one come in, teepee.
The rope frayed strand by strand until finally it parted.
My hands free now. Next me on tie feet.
Just as he loosened the rope on his ankles, he saw the shadow of an approaching figure. Quickly, he lay down and waited. Then the Indian who had captured him and taken his guns entered.
Soon me take you out. Tie you to post. Chief say you'll die for what you do.
As the Indian moved close, Tonto suddenly went into action. He reached out, grabbing the surprised Comanche and pulling him to the ground.
You might not die. This keep you quiet.
The Indian went limp, and Tonto took back his own guns. Next, he took the fallen savage's war bonnet to use as a partial disguise and placed it on his head. He used his hunting knife to cut an opening in the back of the wigwam. Then, making sure he wasn't observed, he quickly headed for a nearby grove and soon made his way to the horses where he found Scout. A moment later, he mounted.
Easy, Scout, easy,
then,
mother.
Discarding the war bonnet, hurriedly rode away.
Get him out, Scout!
Later, the Lone Ranger rode at the rear end of the wagon train to watch for the Comanches in case they followed. Toward dusk, the wagon stopped and circled for the night. The circle had just been completed when the Indians, 100 strong, appeared over a rise.
The Comanches are coming.
Every man to his post.
The Comanches began circling the wagons, using what guns they had and firing blazing arrows. The masked man was everywhere at once, advising, helping.
Keep down, make every shot count. Watch out for those blazing arrows.
Mister, we haven't much chance.
Don't give up, Terry. They haven't many guns. We must hold them off.
For some time, the battle raged. The Comanches rode in an ever-closing circle. Many of the pioneers had been wounded, and Terry Keller felt certain the end was near for them all.
No use, Mister. We can't hold out. This is my fault. If I'd listened to Will Hall and everything...
This is no time to blame yourself, Terry.
I saw Beauvais and Carver at the edge of the grove with the Indian chief. They got us into this.
Yes, I should have realized Beauvais was in with Carver on the plans.
They're too much for us, I tell you. A bugle. That means troopers.
Yes, I see them.
Numbering almost 200 moved in from two sides. Their sudden appearance took the Comanches by surprise. And though the savages fought desperately, they were soon subdued. Those who could still ride tried to escape but failed. The fight had come to an end. In the battle, Carver, Beauvais, and the chief were captured. Later, within the circle of wagons, Will Halden, who had come with the soldiers, spoke to the pioneers.
You mean? I understand you want me to take over as wagon master
again. We sure do. We have a better one.
Well, thank you. Carver and Beauvais were captured and are going back to the fort as prisoners, along with the Comanche chief.
It serves them right. Yeah.
Thanks to the masked man and his Indian friend Tonto, who came to the fort with the news, a massacre has been averted.
Mr. Halden, I want to apologize for the way I acted.
The masked man told me you fought mighty well, Terry. I reckon you won't be taken in so easily the next time by traitors like Carver and Beauvais.
That's right. I think we should give the masked man a vote of thanks right now. The Indian, too.
Wait a minute. It's too late for that. They've already left with the troopers, Terry.
Dad sure will be surprised and happy to hear that I actually met the Lone Ranger.
He's a true American. And an hombre who believes always in the right. We're mighty lucky to have a friend like the Lone Ranger.
Return in just a moment for a word about our next exciting Lone Ranger adventure, railroad robberies.
You know, an exciting way to learn about foreign countries is to study their coins. And Wheaties' special foreign coin offer is really terrific. Right now, Wheaties is offering you two different sets of genuine foreign coins. There's the international set with 15 coins from countries like Germany, Iceland, and South Africa. And the mystery set with 15 coins from faraway lands like Angola, Turkey, New Zealand. Remember, these coins are real money you could spend right now in these countries. And each coin set comes in a special folder. A map inside shows you where the coins are used and gives information about the country. Each coin has been cleaned and polished. Sounds like these genuine coins would cost a lot, doesn't it? But you can get each set for only 25 cents and one Wheaties box top. Look for directions on the back of Wheaties special foreign coin packages at your grocer's now. Hurry, start your foreign coin collection today.
Well,
man whom the Lone Ranger and Tonto had hunted for murder successfully planned a trap for the masked man under unusual circumstances. This is a story packed with action and thrilling suspense. Be sure to listen. Ranger, a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, is created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. The Lone Ranger is brought to you by General Mills. Starting May 30th, listen to The Lone Ranger every day, Monday through Friday, on another network. This recorded program came to you from Detroit. This is ABC Radio Network.
The Short Route, the topic of debate and danger in an episode of The Lone Ranger. It came to us from May 27th. 1955. Next up, it's the Jimmy Durante Show with Lucille Ball as old-time radio drama continues right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jimmy Durante went on the radio in 1934 and stayed there for 16 years. And tonight, which is to say October 29th, 1947, the big story of the year had to do with Princess Elizabeth's marriage to Philip, and Durante mentions that a time or two. We'll also hear some songs and, maybe some dance numbers thrown in there, too. And our guest will be Lucille Ball, who is an interesting combination with Jimmy Durante. We think of her mostly as a visual artist. Well, maybe he was, too, before going into radio. Anyway, she throws in a rather daring joke about the communist witch hunts, the Red Scare that started in Hollywood in earnest right after World War II and went into the early 50s. And, well, if anybody would sound sophisticated next to Jimmy Durante, I guess Lucille Ball would be as much so as anyone. And indeed she does in this broadcast from October 29th, 1947.
Good health to all from Rexall. From Hollywood, the Jimmy Durante Show.
Ink, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee. Oh, what a tune for you. Ink, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo.
Yes, it's the Jimmy Durante Show with Arthur Treacher, Candy Candido, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, our Rexall sportscaster Tommy Harmon, yours truly, Howard Petrie, and our special guest tonight, Lucille Ball. Brought to you by 10,000 Rexall drugstores who carry the complete line of top-quality Rexall drug products. And here he is, not a transcription, not a wax reproduction, but the one and only Jimmy Durante in person.
Gotta start off each day with a song. Now even when things go wrong, you feel better, you even look better. Stop the music, stop the music. And now as a tribute to our musical orchestra, I'd like to introduce the most important members. First flutist, Joe Petrillo. First clarinetist, Tommy Petrillo. First trombone, Peter Petrillo. I'll bet this is one band that'll be making records next year. Ladies and gentlemen, you're under no obligation to laugh. However, if you don't, we have a brand new audience warming up in the basement. How are you kidding, folks?
Oh, Schnoz, I see you're sharp as a tack again tonight. Just as you were on the Information Please program the other night. Jimmy, was I impressed.
You're not the only one, Howard. Boy, did I amaze Fatterman and the rest of those experts. Why, the minute I walked in the door, I won a set of Encyclopedia Britannicas.
You did?
Yeah, they couldn't guess what I was. But, Howard, if you think those experts were confusing, Just listen to this question they gave me. If a projectile traveling at supersonic speed through the stratosphere reaches its destination in 7 seconds, how long would it take a woodpecker with chapped lips to remove the pimento from a stubborn olive?
Hey, that's some question. Who sent that in?
J.C. Coots from Raccoon Tail, Nebraska. And I'll bet $50 there ain't a guy in the world that can answer it.
I can. The answer is 2 minutes, 35 and 2/3 seconds.
That's the right answer. What's your name?
J.C. Coots, Raccoon Tail, Nebraska.
Trapped again, me and my big mount. I'd get rid of it, only it's such a handy place to keep my teeth. Come in.
Mr. Durante, the British Embassy has requested me to instruct you concerning protocol at the wedding of Princess Elizabeth. You are attending, aren't you?
Yes, if the cleaners return my knickers in time.
Very well, then. Here's the procedure you are to follow. During the ceremony, you are to stand 2 paces to the left of the Duke of Gloucester, provided Lady Ashley does not attend. In which event, you curtsy to the Marchioness of Sussex, bow to the Duke of Essex, kiss the hand of the Countess of Middlesex, and retreat 2 paces to the left of Lord Lansbury of Worcestershire. Unless Lady Stanhope is standing beside Lord Denning, in which case you recognize rank and fall back 4 paces to the rear of the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Are there any questions?
Yes, one question. If I bring hard-boiled eggs in my lunchbox, will Britain supply the salt?
I bid you good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Good day.
Jimmy, are you serious about going to the wedding of Elizabeth and Philip?
Are you Josh and Howard? Why, I've already sent the wedding gift. It's a dozen towels marked His Highness, Her Highness, and RDB.
RDB? What does that mean?
Rub, don't blot. I also sent the prince a personal gift for foggy days, a monocle with a windshield wiper on it. But that is neither fish nor chips. Howard, I'm expecting Lucille Ball at our house for dinner. We're planning to do a movie together. I've always wanted to work with a glamour girl.
Glamour girl? Glamour girl? Did somebody say glamour girl?
Man the lifeboats, men. We've struck a typhoon.
Mr. Durante, do forgive me for intruding. I'm Lucille Ball's understudy, and she sent me over to rehearse. After all, anything you were going to do with her, you can do with me.
I know Truman wants us to get along with less, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, Mr. Durante, you're so witty. Now, before we start the rehearsal, I should like to test the microphone.
Please do, please do.
La, 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 la.
Well, you just blew Tehachapi off the network. Would you like to try for Pismo Beach?
Oh, Mr. Durante, you mad wag, you. Now, come on, let's rehearse this scene from the script Lucille has in mind. Oh, this is a wonderful part for you. It gives you a chance to run the gamut of emotions.
A big part for me, huh?
Uh-huh.
All right, let's try it.
Oh, Eustace, so you've come back to me after all the weary months and years of waiting. Oh, you don't know. You don't know how I've missed you, how I've needed you, how I've wanted you. Are you all right, Eustace? Are you, darling? Are you?
Well, I...
No, no, don't speak. Just let me look at you. Oh, Eustace, did you give me any thought when you were away on your long journeys? Did you miss me? Did you? Did you?
Well, I...
No, no, never mind. See it in your eyes.
Great part I got here. I hope I can remember it.
No! Never give a thought to me! Oh, you're never gonna be the monster! I hate you! I hate you! I hate you! I hate you! Oh, darling, I didn't mean that. I could bite my tongue for saying that.
Bite your tongue? You'll have to catch it first.
Oh, darling, kiss me. Kiss me! Oh, it's been so long since I've had a chance to go out and have a fling.
Sorry, I'm busy now. Fling it somewhere else. Besides, I'm already betrotted, which sometimes leads to marriage. Let me tell you about it. Folks, I'm gonna tell you about my gal that I lost. Folks, I'm gonna find her, and no matter the cost. At times I think this little girl is out of this world, which makes my search for her a little inconvenient. But I'll tell you just what I'm gonna do. A description of her I'll give to you. She's a little bit this and a little bit that and a little bit thin and a little bit fat. So send my baby back to me. She's a little bit blonde, a little brunette, a little bit rich, a little bit in debt. And that describes her to a T. What a gal. She's got a little nose that turns up. My nose turns down. And every time we kiss, we lock bumpers. She's a little bit this, a little bit that, and a little bit high and a little bit fat. So bring my baby back to me. You know, the other day I threw a big party to announce our engagement. The big event of the party was the game I introduced, a scavenger hunt. Everybody had to go out and bring back the strangest, most broken down thing you could find. And it's the last time I'll ever play that game. They brought me back 3 times before they found out I was the host. It's a good thing my girl identified me. I'm so devoted to her. I like her too. I love her limpid blonde eyes and the one that is blue. Yes, she's a little bit strong, a little bit frail. I've given you every little detail. So bring back my baby to me.
If you want to be sure that the product is pure when you ask for a drug preparation, buy the Rexall line at the Rexall sign, a Rexall identification.
25% of America buys its drug needs in Rexall drugstores.
Yes, the name Rexall identifies everything fine in drugs. For Rexall is that large and respected family of more than 2,000 different drug products, always available at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
There is a fine Rexall product for every drug need. For example, for a fine vitamin supplement,
take Rexall Plenamins.
For fine aspirin,
take Rexall aspirin.
For fine toothpaste,
take Rexall toothpaste. Let the name Rexall identify everything fine in drugs for you. For the name Rexall is your constant guarantee of fine drug products, the finest that science and pharmaceutical skill can produce.
25% of America buys its drug needs in Rexall drugstores.
If you want to be sure that the product is pure when you ask for a drug preparation, buy the Rexall line at the Rexall sign, a Rexall identification.
Good health to all from Rexall. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Durante has invited Lucille Ball to his house for dinner to discuss her new picture, in which Durante plans to play the part of her lover. Her lover. Silly, isn't it? As we look in on him now, he is making frenzied preparations for her arrival, aided and abetted, of course, by Treacher.
Treacher, let's get ready for our guest. This joint needs organizing. Don't you think this house needs a thorough cleaning?
Cleaning is hardly the word. While dusting this morning, I discovered another room.
How nice. I'll convert it into a nursery. My police dog is expecting rookies. But this is no time for trivialities, Treacher. Miss Ball.
Oh, come on, boy, come on.
Let me go back to that, please. I'd like it. I think I can do a little better.
Right.
But this is no time for trivialities, Treacher.
No.
Miss Ball will be here any minute. Lay out my dinner jacket, my cutaway vest, and reverse my celluloid collar.
Yes, sir.
And, Treacher, when you serve dinner tonight, I want you to look sartorially correct. I'm expecting you will wear a dress shirt.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you're wearing it tonight. However, don't concern yourself. I can always whitewash my chest.
Whitewash your chest? What will you do for shirt studs?
Well, I happen to have 3 very convenient moles.
Treacher, you're a genius. Remind me to reward you with a soggy Tootsie Roll.
How provincial. May I ask, what is the purpose of Miss Ball's visit here tonight?
Since I have the next line, I'll answer that question. Miss Ball wants us to discuss her scenario. She's looking for a handsome and talented leading man.
Oh, how nice of you to have thought of me.
Wait a minute. What makes you think Lucille Ball would prefer you to me?
Well, can I help it if I'm the sophisticated type? Women like a man who has lived.
I've lived?
I mean recently. Besides, you know, to intrigue a woman of Miss Ball's caliber, one must not only be handsome and talented, but also well-dressed, suave, and debonair.
Well, I'm well-dressed, suave, and debonair, ain't I?
Ho, ho, ho. You have had your answer.
Boy, that's gratitude for you, folks. And to think I let the hem down on all my nightgowns so they would fit him. Patricia!
All right, what do you want for dinner?
What's this?
It's a cook I hired for the occasion.
For a minute, I thought it was Sadie Hawkins Day and somebody sent us a hawk.
Never mind the smart cracks, hose nose. How do you want your dinner, boiled or fried?
What have you got for dinner?
Nothing.
Boil it. Teacher, I guess we'll be here any minute, and you mean to say there's nothing for dinner? What about that plum duff we had yesterday? Isn't there any left?
No, but I could serve some plain duff.
What's plain duff?
Plain duff is plum duff after you've taken the plum out of the duff, and all that's left is the stuff.
Put blues on the end of that, and you got a hit song. That must be Lucille Ball now. Quick, preacher, where's my perfume? Yeah, that's it. Now squirt some on my hair, in my eyebrows, behind my ears, under my nose. That's it. I've laid a perfect trail to my lips. Open the door, preacher. Wait till Lucille Ball gets a whiff of this.
Is somebody cooking cabbage?
Lucille Ball!
In person.
I'm overwhelmed, Lucille. The exuberance of this unctuous occasion and the mere quintessence of your celestial radiance premeditates my bountiful soul with palpitation of grandiosius jocanunichichi.
Jimmy, if you think that over, I'm sure you'll take it back.
Take it back? Nothing. I had a hard enough time getting rid of it.
Well, don't let me excite you, Jimmy. I'm just like any other blonde.
What do you mean, blonde? Your hair is red.
Red? Please, Jimmy, in Hollywood, we don't say that word.
But step inside the rotunda, Lucille. You've never seen my house before.
Oh, I think it's terrific, Jimmy. And you've already decorated for Halloween. Oh, I love that pumpkin head in the corner with a silly grin.
Please, that's my Uncle Louie looking at the pictures in Esquire.
Well, you do have a swell place here, Jimmy. It's so homey. Oh, that's a lovely motto hanging over the dresser. Did you write it?
Of course, and I crocheted it, too. But my pointed nose, I only needed one needle.
Oh, what poetry. So sentimental. It takes a heap of living to make a house a home. It's a haven to return to wherever you may roam. It's a place of lasting beauty, be you king or be you slave. So whenever you want comfort... Oh, Jimmy, I can't.
Go on, read it.
Scrape your pan with Burma shade.
You know, Lucille, I don't deserve all the glory for that poem. Longfellow pitched in on the last line.
Well, Jimmy, as long as we're comfortable here, maybe we can start talking about the picture we're going to make together.
Marvelous. Why don't we do something like your last picture, Her Husband's Affairs? I can just see myself in one of those political pictures, being elected president and moving into the White House in Los Angeles.
Oh, Jimmy, the White House is 2,000 miles away. You don't know federal law.
You don't know the Los Angeles city limits. This town is so spread out, Beverly Hills is now a town in Iowa.
Jimmy, I'd like to do a part in a picture that's a little different. You know, a character part.
Ah, Lucille, that's what I like about you. You're so versatile.
Oh, thank you, James. It's people like you that make people like me realize that we should carry the art of Sarah Bernhardt to all the people of the universe and to people wherever there are people.
Folks, you have just heard We the People. Listen, don't tell me you're from Brooklyn.
Of course not, stupid. I'm from the Bronx, and they love me there. Yeah, when the fella saw me in Her Husband's Affairs with Franchot Tone, they awarded me a very great honor.
A great honor?
Yes. They voted me Miss Other End of the Davenport for 1947. And, Jimmy, you know, my family was very refined. I come from a long line of Murphys, Kellys, and O'Tooles. But my mother married a Mulligan.
But Mulligan is an Irish stew.
Well, she knew that, but she married him anyway.
Well, Ah, Lucille, you really got it on the ball.
I say hello. May I join you?
Everybody wants to get into the act.
How are you, Mr. Treacher?
Splendid, Miss Ball. By the way, have you seen our library yet?
Oh, yes, and I'm dying to read The Fall and Decline of the Grecian Satellites by Gulimio Robles.
I read
but
a
Miss
lot.
Miss Ball, my favorites are Aristotle's Soliloquies and Spinoza's Spheric Dialectics.
I spend
the
time in
the best I ever read were The Anatomy of Melancholia and Anecdotes of an Antiquated Octogenarian.
Did anyone see what Dick Tracy did to Mumbles today?
Well, dinner will be ready in a moment.
Take my arm, Lucille. Before dinner, I've got a little surprise for you in the music room.
Wonderful, Jimmy.
You know, our singer, Peggy Lee, has been on the sick list, and Jack Benny loaned me a sportsman quartet to fill in tonight. Are you there, fellas? Sounds like the mating call of a contented cow.
Gee, it was generous of Jack Benny to loan you his quartet.
Hello? Stop pounding me, Jack. The check is in the mail. Carry on, sportsman, carry on.
Far below the Mexican border, where the senoritas stroll beneath the moon,
I think
there's a bold and dashing vaquero, and every night you'll hear him croon.
I think
in my adobe hacienda, there's a touch of Mexico.
I think
cactus lovelier than orchids blooming in the patio.
I think
soft desert stars and the strum of guitars make every evening seem so sweet.
I think
in my adobe hacienda, life and love are more complete. Tippy-tippy-ting, more complete.
You think so?
See, I think.
In my
adobe hacienda,
there's a touch of Mexico. Soft desert stars and the strum of guitars make every evening seem so sweet.
I think
in my adobe hacienda, life and love are more complete. I wanna go back to my little adobe shack in Mexico City.
I think
'cause that's where life and love are more complete. It's sweet and very neat. It's quite a treat, so I repeat, life and love are more complete. Pardon us for singing in your faces.
I think
we think.
The distinguished Rexall quality story begins in the Rexall laboratory.
Yes, the Rexall laboratory is one of the largest and most completely equipped pharmaceutical laboratories in the world. Here, more than 2,000 different Rexall drug products are scientifically compounded under the exacting direction of doctors, chemists, and pharmacists. That's why, when your Rexall druggist says, for example,
you can always depend upon Rexall Bismarex to bring you prompt and prolonged relief from acid indigestion, dyspepsia, or heartburn.
You may be sure your Rexall druggist knows what he's talking about. Thanks to the unsurpassed quality standards of the Rexall laboratory, you can depend on any drug product bearing the name Rexall.
The quality of one Rexall product will tell you the quality story for all Rexall products. Remember, 25% of America buys its drug needs at Rexall drugstores.
If you want to be sure that the product is pure when you ask for a drug preparation, buy the Rexall line at the Rexall sign, a Rexall identification.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Lucille, during dinner I thought the whole thing over. And I think we ought to make a romantic love story where I play your lover. How do you feel about me making love to you?
I'm feeling mighty low.
Poor darling, she's choked up with emotion.
You know, Jimmy, I think we should do a psychological murder mystery. I'd rather be the frustrated heroine, and you can be a hard-boiled detective from homicide.
This is stupendous. Why, I'll be another Mark Hechinger.
That's Hellinger.
We're on the air. I'm coming a little late on that line. We must be careful, you know, because many of our listeners are bookies. Go ahead, Lucille. You start the story with one of those dramatic narrations.
Okay, here goes.
Yes, I killed my husband. I killed him because I needed money. Lots of money. I needed $1 million. You see, I wanted to buy a Cadillac from Honest John. But there was a detective, a cold-blooded detective who preyed on my conscience like the plague. Everywhere I turned, his voice rang in my ears.
This is the voice of your conscience.
Go away. I don't speak to strangers.
You can't escape me. You murdered your husband. You murdered your husband. You murdered your husband. There's no laugh there, folks, but it helps you follow the story.
His nagging voice was with me constantly. I was afraid of him because he was clever. Besides being a detective, he wrote mystery novels. Yes, another Edgar Allan Schmo. But that first day he came on the case, I saw him coming down the street and his friends called to him.
Hiya, Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hi there, Jimmy.
What's new, Jimmy?
Hey, look, it's Jimmy.
Yes. His name was Charlie. When he knocked on the door, I walked from the fourth floor of my mansion down to the front door. Long legs. Then I opened the door, and there he was.
Okay, sister. I'm from the law firm of Zombie, Zombie, and Crawl.
Zombie, Zombie, and Crawl?
Yes. After two zombies, you gotta crawl. Now, look, baby, I know you murdered your husband, and I'm going to prove it. What's in that room there?
Oh, please don't go in there. It's only my poor old invalid grandmother.
I'll take a look anyway. Pardon me, my dear lady. I can tell by looking at your sweet old face that you had nothing to do with the murder. But I got to hear it from your own tender lips.
Hey, drop dead!
Poor darling, she was getting a broom ready for Halloween. But there's something suspicious about this case. When we examined the corpse, we found 32 bullet holes in his body, but not one bullet hole in his clothes. How do you account for that?
Must have been an inside job.
A logical deduction. But who is this low character coming over here?
Oh, that's my butler. This is Detective Durante.
How do you do?
I haven't heard a laugh like that since I lost my halter at the YMCA. What's your name, butler?
My name is Lester Chester Sylvester Hettle Nesta Vesta.
Lester Chester Sylvester Van Nestle Hester Festa Hester Sylvester? You know, folks, we have the wealthiest writers in radio. They get paid by the word. Now, you stick around, Lester Chester. I gotta find some clues.
Oh, I can't stand it any longer. I did it. I shot my husband, stabbed him and strangled him and hit him over the head with a club. And I admit it.
Words, words. I'm looking for clues.
Yap, yap! Detective Durante. I won't let her take the blame. I murdered him.
Oh, it's my secret lover, Candido. And when you see him, you can see why I'm keeping him secret. Be careful. Be careful. He's a gangster and a cutthroat.
I got my gun on me. Tell me, Candida, how did you become a hoodlum?
Well, I started in high society, drifted
to the middle classes, and wound up down here in the underworld.
So you confessed that you're the murderer, huh?
Well, we were all in it together. The wife, the butler, and me.
Come on, Lester Chester, let's run for it.
Come back here or I'll shoot. How do you like that? I shot all three of them. The sound man must use carbon paper.
What do you know? I'm in heaven.
What do you know? I'm in heaven, too.
What do you know?
slow man again.
Friends, here are those foremost Rexall reminders for the week. Remember, 25% of America buys its drug needs in Rexall drugstores. Remember, Rexall is that large and respected family of more than 2,000 different drug products. Remember, you can always depend on any drug product bearing the name Rexall. Remember, Rexall drug products are available in Rexall drugstores everywhere.
To shave, Howard, and I'd like to add, I do my shopping at a Rexall store, buying Rexall drugs, and furthermore, hombre algo, he prefers them too. We buy Rexall, that's all. How do you do?
In just a moment, we'll switch to Chicago to hear a Rexall sportscast with Tommy Harmon. Meanwhile, from this end, we'll say Rexall for tonight from Arthur Treacher, Roy Bargy, yours truly, Howard Petrie,
and Jimmy Durante, who says thanks to Miss Lucille Ball. You were very sweet to visit us, and next week's folks, our good friend Bing Crosby will be with us on our Rexall show at the same time, same station. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
This program was produced and directed by Phil Cohan. And now, for a Rexall sportscast from Chicago, we bring you Tommy Harmon.
Our Rexall football spotlight this week is split between the Midwest and the Southwest, two games that may change the national football picture. In the Midwest, the Michigan Wolverines moved to Champaign to lock horns with the Fighting Illini. Last year, the Alert Illini capitalized on Michigan's fumbles to win the game and also the honor to represent the Big Nine in the Rose Bowl. Because Michigan had a tough one with Minnesota last Saturday, I look for the Wolverines to bounce back and win this game to keep their undefeated record clear. Dallas, Texas is the scene for the battle of two of the Southwest's undefeated teams, Southern Methodist and Texas. When the whistle blows in this game, the spectators will see forward passing at its best. For Texas, it'll be Bobby Lane in the driver's seat. For SMU, it'll be sophomore Doak Walker pulling the strings. For the people in the stands, it should be a football thriller second to none in the record book. But between you and me, I had a talk with the Swami and his crystal ball, so I'll call Texas with crossed fingers. On behalf of Jimmy Durante and the whole gang, this is Tom Harmon saying good night and good health to all.
Durante had also a longtime partnership with Gary Moore, who went on to become a well-celebrated TV game show host in the 1950s. Well, tonight, his guest, Jimmy's guest, was Lucille Ball, and that story, that broadcast featuring the big story of the year, was from October 29th, 1947, with Jimmy's trademark farewell, good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. Well, next, another comic duo, Lum and Abner, and they were partners for many years and had their act down solid by the time we'll hear from them in 1944 next. This is Old Time Radio Drama and the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.